This is Digital Story Podcast number 676, February 26, 2019. Today's theme is What We Can Learn from the Movies. I'm Derek Story. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences awarded Oscars in a variety of categories on Sunday night. Aside from the sheer star power on display, there's an amazing amount of artistic risks and rewards that can serve as lessons for our own work. In this week's show, I present 5 photography takeaways from favorite movies of 2018. So I think it was a pretty good movie year last year, 2018. And there were a number of films that I enjoyed a lot. And when I watch movies, not only do I do so for enjoyment, but I do so to learn from other visual artists. And there are a lot of things that happen on the screen that I can apply to my own work. Now, I'm not going to get in to things today such as, for instance, you know, you can do, you know, color grading with your work and using techniques borrowed from the movie, such as the orange and teal technique and stuff like that. That is good stuff and I enjoy it, but more what I'm focusing on today are themes and, you know, not the technical as much as the artistic and the storytelling. And I think the storytelling is really the important thing that I noticed in my favorite movies from the year. So I'm going to tackle 5 of them, and that shouldn't be a shock to many of you. And let's get started. This is fun stuff. I'm really excited about this. Okay, the first movie, and this won the Oscar for Best Picture, and that's Green Book. It's the story of a road trip through the southern United States at a time of segregation. And I think it's a terrific illustration of juxtaposition. Together, they overcome their predisposed judgments as they meet challenge after challenge on the road. And, you know, in the beginning, I don't think they really like each other very much. At least that was my take when I watched the movie. But they had a mutual goal here and, you know, a job for one, for the driver, and for the other one, you know, protection and to get where he needs to go. And, you know, so together they figured out, all right, I'm going to depend on you. And the other guy says the same thing. And hopefully we can pull this off. So it starts out kind of with that edge. But of course, as the movie progresses and as they meet their various challenges, they begin to appreciate each other more as people instead of just a job. Now, the reason why I say juxtaposition on this is because there are a lot of layers to this movie. And even though the story is definitely simplified so that the greater audience can grasp it and will enjoy it, and it made me think that, you know, one of the ways to tell a story, to really get people to see, you know, what's going on, is to put whatever it is that you want to highlight against something that really shines a light on it. And a lot of times, something that really shines a light on something is, you know, the opposite. And, you know, what I'm thinking here, for instance, as we're thinking about our photography, an image of a little old lady helping a fireman across the street. So, you know, so where you take things and you turn them on their head, or you take things and you show, you know, the foil and that kind of thing. And I think that is something really worth looking for when we're out, especially in urban photography. You know, we talk about juxtaposition on a basic level, like, for instance, you know, the person leaning up against the no loitering sign. And yeah, you know, I do like those. And if I see that and if it's interesting, I will definitely snap the shutter. But I'm actually talking about something, you know, a little bit deeper than that, and something that maybe is a little unexpected at first, or something that challenges, you know, our preconceived notions. And I think Green Book was effective that way. I think it's going to end up being one of the more controversial best pictures, although it seems like every year there's some sort of controversy, mainly because, you know, there's a lot of things swimming around on the edges of that movie. But at its core, I like the vehicle, I mean that on many levels, that they use to tell the story. And I think it's interesting to think about themes like that for photography, where we highlight something, and the way that we really highlight it is by showing something that is a force up against it, or show it in a different light. The next movie I want to talk about is Bohemian Rhapsody. And, you know, this is the story of the rock band Queen and their frontman, Freddie Mercury. And it's a terrific story. It's probably one of the more popular movies from 2018. And, I enjoyed it just for, you know, the sheer spectacle of the movie. And, of course, the wonderful personality that Freddie Mercury was, both his, you know, bright side and his dark side. He had lots of each. But the lesson, you know, the takeaway for my own art, for my own photography in this movie was different. And the lesson that I came away with is being true to your vision. And there's just, a great scene in this movie. Well, there's two great scenes, actually. You know, one scene where the record producer or the record company, the label, has hired them, you know, to make a record that's going to be popular, right? to build upon their already successful themes. And their vision was pointing towards something a bit more creative, a bit more experimental. And basically the producer at the end there says, well, I'm not going to make this record that you want to make. And after listening to it, and they said, well, we're not going to, you know, do something else. So, you know, they part ways. And of course, you know, the big line there is, you know, Freddie Mercury goes, you will forever be known as the man who, you know, let Queen get away. And then, of course, later on in the movie, when they are wildly successful, they show, you know, a picture of him in despair as they're just mowing it over at Live Aid. So that was good movie making. That's good storytelling. That the thing that happens there is the thing that we all want to happen. And of course, it doesn't go like that in real life all the time. And, you know, in terms of wild success, it rarely goes like that. However, the lesson about being true to your vision, even when others discount its merit, I think that it stands, regardless if you become Queen or not. You know, not every artist who insists on going their way will enjoy unbridled success, of course. But the thing that person has in common with the person that does have the wild success is that satisfaction that they followed their vision and refined it to their best of their ability. And I think at the end of the day, you know, that when we're doing our work, when we're creating our images, when we're making our movies, if we just say, hey, this is what I love doing, this is what I love to photograph, and, you know, I don't care if, you know, the mass audience isn't into my subject matter or isn't into the way that I do images, this is what I love to do. Even if you're not wildly successful, and, you know, let's be honest, odds are that you won't be, you're still going to enjoy your art every step of the way. As opposed to, and I see people struggle with this all the time, trying to create art that will appeal to the critics or appeal to the masses. And a lot of times that just doesn't work out. So now they've sacrificed their soul, so to speak, and at the same time are not enjoying success either. So you can have at least one part of the equation, which is the part that you're satisfied and that you enjoy and that you're following, you know, your art and your vision. And then, we'll see what happens with the second half. It may turn out like Queen, probably won't, but nonetheless, what a journey. The third movie I want to talk about is Black Klansman. And this is the story of a black undercover detective impersonating a white man and gaining access to the Ku Klux Klan. And this movie is both entertaining and thought-provoking, and that is really the takeaway. You know, Spike Lee has been making movies for a long time, and when I mention Spike Lee to some people, they go, oh, no, he's too radical for me. I'm not going to go see that movie. I said, okay, but I mean, it's really an enjoyable movie, and you're missing out by not seeing it. And what Spike Lee, I think, did with this movie, what he adjusted slightly was that he found a balance between humor and message in Black Klansman that maybe hadn't been as refined in some of his other movies. And, you know, right now, if you want to get your message out, and let's say that part of your art is conveying some sort of message, let's say that you have a passion for something of saving animals or, you know, protecting the earth or, you know, whatever your passion happens to be, that, you know, in our current polarized society, shouting louder than the next guy, I mean, really, it has diminishing returns at best. Quite honestly, it just doesn't work. No, nothing seems to change. At least that's my view right now. However, if you somehow can create a craft, a story, craft an image that balances humor with message, or, you know, heart-touching with message, so that the person isn't, you know, receiving, you know, a punch in the face, but they are being stimulated, rather they are being stimulated by the art and craft of your work, then I think, you know, you have a better chance to, you know, get your message across. And, you know, they won an Academy Award. Black Klansman won an Academy Award. Spike Lee was on stage for his screenplay. And I think that screenplay, that bit of writing that got him on that stage, had that balance of message and humor and really good storytelling. And I think that is really a way that will resonate with more people now than just trying to use, you know, brute force to get your ideas across. The fourth movie I like to talk about is Crazy Rich Asians. And, you know, the Academy did not touch this movie. But I think it's a good movie, and I enjoyed watching it. And the story is not a new story in terms of theme. You know, rich boy falls in love with sweet girl of lesser financial means. And he has a very protective family, and she has to win them over in order to move the relationship forward. And, you know, the thing that I really came away with on this movie is the power of love. And it is, you know, the power of love is a great theme. The trick to talking about the power of love, or to creating an image with it, or to creating a movie with the power of love, is how do you tell it without using all the standard cliches and images that we have seen for years? Because it is such a popular theme. It is addressed over and over again. And I think Crazy Rich Asians did for us. Here we get to see a theme that we're familiar with, but with people that we're not as familiar with. And it's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, we do get to see a little insight into their culture. We do get to see a little insight into, you know, what's important to them and what isn't as important. And, you know, there are some things going on there that are not as familiar to us as, let's say, if this story happened in New York. And I think it's those additional things, those different things that hold us to let the powerful story of love sort of then take us the rest of the way home. And I really like that. So, and I think photographs that capture the relationships in life indeed can be powerful. But I think it's also worth looking outside your own backyard or your own culture for these images. And sometimes, you know, having faces and having places that people don't recognize quite as much in your work, and then addressing those themes again in those different locations with those different people, then they'll take a look at it, and then maybe they can get caught up in the shot in what feels like a fresh way, even though it is a very, very old theme. So I like that about Crazy Rich Asians. I think that part of it worked for me. I was fascinated by the characters. I was fascinated by watching, you know, some of the cultural things. At the end of the day, it's just a good old-fashioned love story, but it was an interesting one, and I enjoyed it. The last movie I want to talk about is a Coen Brothers movie, and it's called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And this movie is available on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you can watch it tonight. And you can watch it for no additional charge, I should say. And what the Coen Brothers have done here, and talk about storytellers, they created a series of short stories, or I should say they portray a series of short stories, told, you know, in very much in short story format, including opening up the book, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and, you know, peeling back the onion skin paper to reveal a color plate, you know, that, you know, illustrates the story. And then they would go into the story itself in movie form. They're very interesting stories. They're stories about life. I think only one of them has what I would consider a happy ending. But they're all kind of, you know, like real. Real. And at the same time, you know, very Coen Brothers odd. So, you know, you get a little bit of that. But that isn't the takeaway for me. The takeaway for me was that this collection of shorts presented in one movie, to me, really shows like the power of the photo essay for us, because we're able to see, you know, different angles of a theme as they move from story to story in the movie. You know, we're seeing this theme kind of surface, but we're seeing it played out in different ways. And I think photo essays allow us to do that same sort of thing, where we can tackle a subject with more than just one shot. You know, we can use, you know, a dozen shots to really show different facets of a subject or a theme that we're addressing. And then those parts come together, and if we do it right, with great impact, you know, and much more, you know, with much more impact than any of the stories could on their own. So I love that about The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. There's a lot of things I like about that movie. It was nominated in two categories. One of them was Best Costume. But I think the thing about it is, though, that if you really look at storytelling, you know, with fresh eyes and explore it in different ways, again, you can address traditional themes, but yet they'll feel fresh to the viewer, you know, watching either the movie or viewing your images. And, you know, these are not individual things. All five of these themes that I talk about, you know, the photo essay and presenting, you know, traditional themes in a fresh way and staying true to what your vision is, and also, you know, looking for new ways to shine a light on a subject and using juxtaposition or using a foil to do so. You can mix and match these things and be having them swimming around in your head, either when you go out to shoot, or you can create images, you know, with this in mind. You can actually art design your own photographs that, you know, that leverage some of these very powerful techniques that master storytellers are using quite successfully. So I enjoyed 2018 movies. There are more movies that I liked, but I really liked some of the lessons in these five that I covered today. The Portfolio Box Tip of the Week. And this week they address image quality. And I like what they're talking about here, because I think I go the wrong way with this sometimes myself. And what they're saying is, you know, the higher quality your images have, the heavier the files would be. And when you have lots of big, heavy image files on your website, then it affects your page speed. And so they have some tools built in to help with this. So they are saying that you can speed up the loading of your website by slightly reducing your image quality. In Portfolio Box, you can adjust the image quality by clicking on the cogwheel icon, then Settings, then General, then Website, then Image Quality. The image quality scale is from -1 to 1. -1 is the lowest, and 1 is the highest. So you can try out different quality level settings and find the best option for your website. So then you can test it. And when you test it on different devices. Just don't test it on your big, powerful desktop computer. You know, make sure you test it on a phone. Make sure you test it on a laptop. Make sure you test it on, you know, a tablet. Loading via cellular as opposed to Wi-Fi. You know, test under these different conditions and to where you find a happy medium between image quality and page load speed. Now, the nice thing about this portfolio box approach is that you don't have to go back and play with your images per se individually, right? So let's say that you had them at a very high quality and you've uploaded a site. You don't have to pull them all down and replace them, you know, with lower quality images. Instead, you can just use this setting that they have on the site under image quality. And by the way, I have this written in the show notes, so you can, you know, you can follow, you know, the menu settings till you get exactly where you need to get. So you just use one setting and then it addresses all the images on that page. So, you know, I think that is a very nice luxury, and it's something that you might want to think about. You know, how fast is your site loading? After reading this, I'm going to go back and take a look at mine. I have a feeling I might be making some adjustments myself. Speaking of my site, I've added the Portfolio Box site to the nav bar on the digital story. It is now the About Me page. And what a good choice. And I've talked about this over the last few weeks, about the success I'm enjoying since I put up the Portfolio Box site, and especially since I started using it as I work with clients and as I work with models and, you know, together partners on projects. And it's just so nice having one link. And in my case, it's, you know, DerekStoryPhotography.com. I send them that. They see my About Me page. They see a few galleries. And suddenly they know what's going on. They know who they're dealing with. And it has been tremendous help to me. And it's something that I think basically could benefit, you know, every listener that we have in our audience as well. If you want to create your own Portfolio Box site, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes, or you can click on the tile that runs on all the pages of the digital story. Go that way to set up your free site, because if you decide to go pro, where you get your custom domain name and you get the added features, then you will save 20% off the $83 annual price. And I tell you, of all the fees that I'm paying online right now, that is one that I gladly will pay when it comes renewal time. I tell you, won't even blink an eye on that one. So anyway, Portfolio Box has been a terrific sponsor of the Digital Story. I just love their product, and I love their approach to showing our images in the best light possible online. Skylum announces the development of Air Magic drone imaging software. And this is via DP Review. I'm just going to read it to you. Real quick, this is new software coming from Skylum, the folks that make Luminar and Aurora HDR. The application for Windows and Mac will be called Air Magic and is AI-powered to transform photos made with a drone from great to breathtaking. It will become available sometime in the spring, which isn't that far away. Looking at the teaser video above, Air Magic is capable of detecting what drone camera an image has been captured with. It can scan the scene for haze, skies, and presumably other image elements and artifacts before automatically adjusting exposure, color, and other parameters for an optimized end result. They're saying here in their initial take on this that it's more for people who maybe want an automated approach to editing their drone shots. But, you know, the way I'm looking at this is that if I could automate, you know, the bulk of the shots that are my three-star shots and just say, hey, automate this and make them look good, and I can share them right away, and then I go back and handcraft the shots that are really my favorite, you know, that sounds like a pretty good thing to me. So I'm actually interested in this in terms of saving time with my drone photography. But, you know, the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll find out more about that once they release it in the spring. It's going to be called Air Magic. I'll keep you posted on it. But if you shoot a lot of images with your drone, this could save you some time. I just want to mention that we still have one or two seats open for the Sonoma Coast Workshop. It's coming up this summer in Northern California. I'm working on both it and Joshua Tree at the same time right now. Joshua Tree being just a few weeks away, obviously, is at the front burner. But Sonoma Coast, being in the summer, I really want to get some things nailed down for the people who have signed up. And so as soon as I finish Joshua Tree, I'm going to finish up Sonoma Coast. And then I'm going to get to the Humboldt Redwoods, which is coming up in September. I'm really excited about that. And I'll be able to start working on that in March. So, oh boy, that's going to be fun. And when I say working on that, I mean the details. I have all the framework built for all of these when I announce them. But you know, the details, in my opinion, are what really separate a great workshop from a good one. And I like to spend lots of time on those details. And anyone that's come to one of my workshops knows that I really try to pay attention to those details. So anyway, if you're interested, though, in the Sonoma Coast Workshop, like I said, we still have a seat or two open. You can go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on workshops there. And then also on our TDS workshops page, workshops up in the nav bar, and you can learn more about it. I am truly excited about all three of these events this year, and especially as they're getting closer, it's getting more exciting, and I would love it if you could join us for one of them. Inner Circle members, I have a new goodie for you this week. If you go over to our Patreon site, you can watch an introduction on the new library manager in Luminar 3. And now that Luminar 3.0.2 is out, I'm feeling that the software is pretty good shape on both Mac and Windows. And so now would be a good time to experience Luminar. You obviously can download a free trial. I have a link on all the pages of Digital Story. I have in the center column there, I have a link to Luminar. For Inner Circle members, this movie that I did, I think will give you a feel for Luminar with libraries, and it focuses just on the library aspect, which is the newest aspect of this application. And it's just another way that I'd like to say thank you to our Inner Circle members for supporting the site. If you want to join the Inner Circle, then visit our Patreon site. There's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can just click on that and go over there. And there's also a link in the show notes. If you're already in the Inner Circle, a big thank you. And if you're interested in Luminar, go over and check out that free movie that I've posted for you. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the inkjet specialists. They are the ones that provide us with the tools in terms of learning about printing, you know, through their tutorials, through their reviews. Then they supply us with the supplies as well, the paper, the ink, the envelopes, everything that we need. There must be something, maybe because in North America it's a little cooler right now and people are, you know, turning more to indoor activities, but I have received some very enthusiastic notes recently from listeners who made the leap and said, hey, I'm going to start printing, and got themselves some Red River paper, started cranking out prints, and then got excited. I know the feeling. I do know the feeling. If you want to have that feeling too of creating art that you can hold in your hands, put on the wall, and hand to other people, then click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. That'll take you over to our landing page on Red River Paper. And they also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. If you start printing, I promise you there will be a certain satisfaction that comes from those prints that you don't get from looking at your images on your phone. That one I can guarantee you. Red River Paper is the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, and a tip of the hat to them for supporting us and for supporting the printing community. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I watched the Academy Awards show, and I really enjoyed it, but I have to tell you, I enjoyed the movies even more. Come back next week, and I have some interesting stuff to talk about. Looking forward to spending time with you again. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.